Shalom, shalom, everybody. It's the Restoration Hour, and it is myself, Aaliyah, and it is Yosef. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let me know if the sound is good, if everything is going well there. We did check it, and it seems to be all good, and everything seems to be up and running. So we are really looking forward to being with you today. We're looking forward to this time. We praise Yeshua that we could be on this broadcast this evening and that he could answer those prayers. And we're grateful to everybody who read that important email we sent out this week and who really just decided just to support the ministry and to help. We know that we said that Mixler would probably be off this week Sunday, because things have just been really hectic. But we are really, really grateful to Yeshua for really, really, you know, just... we knew and we have peace in our hearts that, you know what, like it says in the word, like Paul always says, you know, we know how to be content, whether we have a lot, whether we have a little, whether whatever's going to happen, it's in his hands. So we're really grateful because we know that this time is super, super important. We love meeting with you and we love sharing his word, his truth, his message in this hour with you on this Restoration Hour. And so welcome. We hope that you've had a wonderful, wonderful week, that has been a blessed Shabbat. One more week and then it is Shavuot. And so next week, what we are going to do is not broadcast on Sunday night, but we're going to broadcast on Saturday evening, because it is a high Sabbath on the Saturday evening, the same time in South Africa, but also then it will be Shabbat in America and other places that are, you know, behind us time difference wise. So we will all be able to gather and just really just welcome in Shavuot and have a time where we can just gather together. We know many people want to gather. We know many people can't because they're just in different locations where they're on their own, and that makes it difficult. So we want to be able to do that. So that's going to be really exciting. And so this evening, you know, Abba Father has really laid a very special word on our hearts, and it's going to be a word to stir up your heart, impart to you today, you know, really stir up, you know, what is it that Father is calling you to do? What is your calling? What is your purpose? What is your responsibility? How do we see this playing out? And, you know, it's not just something that we always talk about, this message that just lies littered throughout the scriptures. But, you know, we're going to get into something very, very specific this evening. Before we do that, Yosef, welcome to you. And I hope that you have had a wonderful week this week.
Amen. I've had a great week. And like Aaliyah says, it's good to be back on the Restoration Hour. The last couple of weeks, we haven't been able to broadcast. It was load shedding in South Africa that's just been ongoing, but we give praise to him that at least this week everything is working, and our power is working and we are able to broadcast. So we are glad that you are with us and we look forward to this evening. And Aaliyah, you know, you said something important, that this evening we're going to speak about something that is imperative for each one of us. I believe it's important that what we speak about this evening, it applies to every single one of us. You know, that's the great thing about being part of the family of Yahweh. Each one of us serves a purpose. Each one of us has a role. No matter how great or how small or how important it feels, or how maybe to you sometimes it doesn't feel important, it is important. And in the kingdom of Messiah Yeshua, he has given to us this great spirit, this great ruach that he's given us, but he's also given us other things to equip us, to enable us, and to strengthen us for the task that lies ahead. And I really do believe that Abba Father wants us as his people to not only experience the fullness of his presence, but also the fullness of what he wants to give us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think we think that that is only, you know, the gospel, the truth of the word, the understanding of his word. But in actual fact, there is so much more that he has given us. And it tells us in the book of Ephesians that Messiah Yeshua, who died and went to the grave, he is the one who gives and imparts unto us gifts and understanding of those gifts, and not only the giftings, but also he's given us his ruach to empower those gifts so that we can be an effective witness. And that's what it's about, being not only an effective witness, but also being a partaker of the glory of Messiah Yeshua to a world that really, really needs to know that. And we've spoken about these topics often, but I think that this evening it's going to bring it home, because it really is important for us not to only understand how Messiah Yeshua wants us to use those, but also how do we play our part in this greater story and this greater plan that Abba Father has. So let's pray and then let's get into this. Father, we want to thank you in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Father, we thank you that you are always on the throne, and Father, that everything is always in your hands. Father, you are in so control of our lives. And Father, when we truly stop and pause and take a look, Father, at the wonderful work that you do, Father, then we are truly in awe. And tonight, Father, I want to pray that every single person that joins us, Father, that you will strip away any preconceived ideas, Father, anything that is not of you, Father, we pray that you will remove it. And Father, that you will give us a mind to understand and a heart to perceive, Father, that we will be your people, Father, in your presence, that you will just come, Father, by the power of your Ruach, Father, and come and minister to our hearts. Help us understand, Father, who we are. Help us understand, Father, this wonderful work that Yeshua has done for us, so that we can be partakers of this heavenly calling, Father, and so that we can be partakers of the truth of your word, but also, Father, of the fire of your spirit, Father, and be a witness to a generation of people, Father, that really need to know and hear you. So, Father, I pray tonight, Father, that it won't just be words, but that there will be depth. Father, that there will be this true depth of understanding of who we are in Messiah Yeshua, and what we have, and the gifts and abilities that you have given us. So, Father, we thank you, we honor you, we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Messiah Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, we're going to be taking you into the book of Timothy, and not only 1 Timothy, but also 2 Timothy. So we're going to move around a bit this evening. But you know, the key scripture that I really want to start off with reading this evening is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 14. And it's actually really, really beautiful. And it says, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecies spoken over you when the elders of the congregation laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live, on your life, and keep a close watch on your doctrine. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation, but also for the salvation of those who hear you." Wow, you know, this is just four verses, but it's so, so deep, and we're gonna really get into it and break it open. Now, first I must say, and it's very important that we understand what the context of this is. We know that Timothy was actually a second generation leader. So obviously, you know, you had the apostles, the 12 apostles, and then also Paul. And they were really this first generation of leaders that went around. They had that apostolic calling. They, you know, preached not only the gospel, but set up leaders, set up congregations. And there was this second generation of leaders. And, you know, Timothy was one of them. He was the second generation. And, you know, he had accompanied Paul on one of his mission trips. He had been one of Paul's closest companions. But even more so, you know, essentially, Timothy was like a son to Paul. Timothy was quite young when he was leading this congregation. And Paul was really a father to him, was kind of this mentor-mentee relationship that they had. But also, I would say we see a spiritual fatherhood there. We see Paul in that spiritual fatherhood place, and Timothy being really just kind of like a son, because Paul does actually refer to him as that all the time. And what happened here was that Timothy was actually sent to Ephesus. We know Ephesus was a very, very intense place. Yes, there were quite a lot of believers there. We know Priscilla and Aquila were working there. They had a home congregation there. There were quite a lot of other believers there. But Ephesus was really a pagan place. And we speak a lot about this in the teaching, actually, that you did, Yosef, on, you know, should women teach and preach? You go really deep into the context of what Ephesus was about. It was really a pagan place, lots of different culture, lots of Gnostic beliefs, lots of weird Greek worship, and just really crazy stuff was happening there. And Timothy was sent to Ephesus to really be the, as we would say, the shepherd of this, you know, congregation that was established there, that, yes, did have many believers in, but also had quite a lot of issues and quite a lot of things that they had to deal with. And again, you know, this letter could have been a response to something that Timothy had asked Paul, which it does really seem like, because Paul does say certain things that seem almost like a reply. And but we don't have what Timothy ever asked him. We don't know what that conversation was. But we do have this direct statements that Paul makes to Timothy, and is really, really encouraging him. And Timothy needed encouragement. That was what the situation was here. He needed encouragement to keep going with his calling. You know, Ephesus was, like I said, a tough place. You have really bad culture. There were specific women that had come into the congregation that were preaching these wrong beliefs. Ephesus was very much a place where goddess worship was at the center of everything. You know, they had this higher place for women, you know, in the spiritual way of speaking and understanding. So Timothy was up against a lot. And the context of this is that, you know, he's really needing this encouragement. You know, what do I do? I'm up against this culture. Well, all this stuff is in the congregation. I'm a young person. I'm a young leader. You know, I didn't establish this congregation, but I am here to lead it. How do I go about doing what I need to do? How do I do this? Because, you know, this is a bad culture. And I think that, you know, Yosef, we often think that our world is very bad and that our cultures are very bad. And it is. Our world is bad, and it's difficult to live in it sometimes. You know, I was thinking the other day that it's so interesting how quite, you know, maybe a few years ago, even a decade ago, which wasn't that long ago, but more so 50 years ago and 100 years ago, you know, people didn't even know what was happening 10 kilometers away from them or 20 miles away from them. You know, you lived in your space, you lived in your village or you lived in your town and you knew what was happening there. Today, we are so connected. Today, we can see the bad so quickly. You know, you just get on social media, there's viral videos. We hear about all the hard things and it becomes harder and harder to live in this culture. That is why the letters that Paul writes to Timothy, if you read them very methodically and just with a lot of patience and just with a heart to understand them, they speak to us today. They speak so directly to us as though these commandments were written to us. And I say commandments because Paul is giving commands to Timothy through that scriptures that I just read. And I think it's important that we see that sometimes we think it's so bad in our time, but it was also bad in the days that they lived.
You know, I think, Aaliyah, what you said about the culture of the day at the time in Ephesus is so important because today in our cultures, much of the things that were happening in Ephesus at that time are similar things to what is happening today in our culture. And not only that, it's, you know, Paul speaking to Timothy about truth and about integrity and about standing up in a time where those things were being removed slowly but surely. And people who were saying, hey, you know what, we're preaching and proclaiming the gospel, we're not actually doing the truth, and they weren't proclaiming the truth, and they weren't portraying Yeshua in the right manner. So there were people that were trying, but it wasn't as, you know, as Yeshua wanted. And I think we live in that generation, we've been living in that time for so long, where, you know, truth is so watered down, where the culture of the day is so mixed with the truth of the word, and the truth of the word is so mixed into the culture of the day that we need to be relevant. You know, we hear that word over and over, let's be relevant. But Paul's actually saying to Timothy, you know what, I don't want you to be relevant. I want you to stand out as somebody of integrity, someone that is honorable, someone that is, you know, doing what is prescribed here. And by those things, by the life that you live and the way that you teach specifically, others will come to understand who you actually are. And that's what he's saying to him. He's saying to him, don't let anything distract you. And I think, you know, when we read, like you said, these letters, you actually see that it's kind of like you say, like a mentor-mentee vibe that's going on. But at the same time, Paul's speaking to Timothy almost as a commanding officer would speak to a soldier and saying to him, you know what, there's a fight that's going on. There's this battle that's raging. And you need to understand that if you want to be in this battle, you need to stand, but you also need to understand that there's certain rules of engagement. There's certain things that need to take place. And one of them specifically is that you need to be a man of obedience and integrity. You need to be somebody that is different to everybody else. Even though you're young, even though you maybe feel inexperienced, you just need to stand as Timothy and a man of integrity and somebody that is rooted in Yeshua. So he was kind of, you know, speaking to him as a father, but at the same time he was kind of speaking to him as a soldier and saying to him, you know what, this battle that you're in, it's not a battle that is in the physical, it's spiritual. And he actually says to him, he says, you know, you need to wage the war, you need to fight the good fight. And he speaks to him in that way as like a, you know, soldier would be speaking to a commanding officer, but he's also also saying to him, you know, there's rules of engagement. And I think tonight we're going to look at some of those, you know, like the obedience that he tells him that you need to live by, and the rules that you need to live by. It's like you say, it's commandments that almost that he's saying to him as an older person that's run the race. He's now saying to Timothy, you know what, these are the things you need to do. Stay in this and you'll shine. Stay in this and you'll be strong.
You know, Yosef, you touched on two things that's super important there. One is that older person that is, you know, speaking those truths to you. I want to say that older person speaking those truths to you doesn't mean that necessarily you'll have someone that's older age-wise in your life, but you might have someone that's more spiritually mature than you. You know, you could be 50 and saved a year to 2 years, and someone else could be, you know, in their 30s and saved 20 years, and what they can impart to your life could be really big. And I think that the number one lesson we can learn from this is that those who are wise and mature in the faith, as it says in the word, you know, open up your heart to let them impart to you. And, you know, he says in verse 14, which is a touch point, before I get there, Yosef, that is exactly what you said about that, you know, commanding officer giving commandments to a soldier in the ranks was exactly what I experienced. You know, I was sitting late last night again going through these scriptures and just leaning into what the Ruach was saying to me, and I really got the sense that this is a military letter. This is army language, and we're going to get into that as well. You know, this is what it takes to, hey, you know what, come on, you can do this. You know, it is powerful, and you can, and listen, this is what you have to do. It's warrior language all the way through. And like I said in verse 14, do not neglect the spiritual gift you receive through the prophecies spoken over you when the elders of the church, as it says in some in translations, but usually says congregation, laid their hands on you. Now I want to say to you, maybe you've never had someone lay their hands on you and prophesy over you, or maybe pray for you, we've said this before, to receive a gift or to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know. But I truly believe that you probably have had this experience. And oftentimes you may have had that experience in a church setting, you know, and then think, well, I now am into the Torah, now I'm into this truth. So what maybe I received in the church or what I heard in the church or what I encountered there, maybe that's not true. And that's going to take a level of discernment to know whether it was or wasn't. I remember the very first prophetic word that I was ever given in my entire life, you know, at the age of 17, being saved just 3 months, it was in a church. And that prophetic word really, really was, it had nothing to do with a gift. It had nothing to do with what I would become. You know, it had nothing to do with, there was no almost prophetic element, as we would call it, to it. It was someone speaking truth to me. You know, for example, never forget what that lady said, and it was 20 years ago, and she said, you have a lot of anger inside of you, you know. And I grew up in an abusive family. I had so much anger inside of me that I never faced. And I used to act out of anger. And it was that prophetic word that made me really look into myself and to say, am I like this, you know? And the Holy Spirit was released to me that day, was prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that began to work in me. So sometimes maybe experiences that you did have in a church setting or a congregational setting, maybe those people aren't part of your life anymore, or, you know, you don't want to trust that thing. I definitely agree there is that, and we need to look at that, but just definitely walk in discernment, because Yahweh could have still used people to pray over you or to prophesy over you. But more importantly, he says here that it is your calling and it is your responsibility to know your gift, to develop your gift, and to remember your gift. And that is the first thing that we want to really say to you this evening. If you have been prayed for, even if you know you have gifts because Yahweh has spoken to you personally, because, you know, that's how he worked with you, or maybe you were at a camp and you received a word, or, you know, you were at a place, you received something, and that day you were filled with the Holy Spirit and things started becoming real to you. It is your responsibility. No one else, not the person that prayed for you, not, you know, the elders who laid their hands on you, not the mentor that you have. It is your responsibility to develop your gift. And that is what Paul consistently reminds Timothy about. You are responsible for that. How are you going to overcome the bad things that's happening in the congregation? How are you going to overcome in this life? How are you going to be the second generation leader that you're called to be? How are you going to be able to rise up out of feeling unequipped and feeling like you don't have what it takes? You're going to do this all through developing your giftings, you know, paying attention to those prophetic words that release a gift into your life. Whatever Timothy's gift was, it's not mentioned here, but whatever his gift was, Paul is telling him that is the key to you going forward and to you fighting the fight of faith, for you overcoming what is hard to overcome, and for you truly rising up to be the person that you were created to be. And number one, that's what we want to share with you this evening as well. You know, if you haven't, if you're just sitting and going, well, I actually, sure, you know, I'm not in a congregation. I haven't been for a long time. I'm actually just me and I'm just on my own. That's fine, because maybe that's where Yahweh wants you to be. It's, you know, we always talk about using our gifts in the congregation. That's very important. But you can use your gifts on a daily basis, wherever Yahweh leads you to. You know, if you have a gift of encouragement, you can use that with people in, you know, that you see on a daily basis, people you work with or wherever you go. You know, it just depends. You can do it over sending people encouraging messages. Whatever your gift is, it is your responsibility to develop it. And we fall far short of Yahweh's best for us when we neglect our gifts. When we neglect our gifts, we are not using the, you know, treasure that we've been given. We are, you know, not doing what Yeshua says, that parable where he says some were given this much, and they did this and they came back and they brought profit. You know, that guy, one guy came back and he had double, and the other guy came back and he had more, and the other guy just went and buried it, remember? And Yeshua said, you're a wicked servant because you didn't use what I gave you. And I think that Paul is alluding to this by saying, Timothy, you have to remember you have gifts. And if you don't use them, you really are going to fall short of what Yahweh has planned for your life. Our gifts are what we have to use to fulfill the purpose of Yahweh. If we do not fulfill the purpose of Yahweh, we have far fallen short of the fact that we are alive. We always say you're alive for a purpose, right? But then some people just sit back because of despair or disappointment or fear, doubt, or they don't think they're equipped, or they don't think there's a space to use their gifts. There's always a space. There's always a need. You know, we live in a dark world and we can use it in that dark space as well. So this is very, very important. Develop, remember, and begin to use and even go deeper with your gift.
You know, Leah, I was, while you were busy talking, I was looking at, you know, this passage that you were speaking from in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and from verse 14, and something really stood out to me. You know, he says to Timothy, he says, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. And then he explains and he says, you know, remember when you were prayed for and these gifts were bestowed upon you. But then he says something very interesting in verse 15. In my translation, it says this. It says, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. And you know, when I was reading this, I see, you know, this word progress in the Greek is actually a military word. So he's saying to him, you know what, it's something that you need to actually in submerge yourself in. In other words, you need to actually fan. You know, fanning, when you think about a fire, you know, when he says to him, fan into flame the gift. You know, fanning into flame, and we've said this before, I think, often on the Restoration Hour and you know, in the teachings, that the natural tendency of any fire is to burn out. And when you fan into flame something, you're fanning it into flame, and it's first an ember, and then it becomes a fire. So Paul's saying to Timothy, don't actually let your gift get so, you know, kind of absorbed or not absorbed, but kind of like non-evident is the way I want to put it, you know, so that it's just an ember. Don't because of, he's actually talking to him and saying, you know, because of your youth, because of who you are, because of what you think and feel and all these things, don't let your gift be neglected, but fan into flame. In other words, and he says here specifically too, he says, you know, by, this is how you fan it into flame. He says, by your speech, the way you talk and the way that you interact with others. Then he says, you know, by your conduct, by your love, by your faith and your purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. So he's giving him these instructions and he's saying to him, you know what? I want you to be actually absorbed, and I want you to kind of push through that realm of you know, I'm not so sure. I don't know if I want to, but go past it and actually realize that your gift is being given to you so that you can be a gift to the body and to the people and to the people I want to bring across your path. But you need to fan into flame that gift, and you need to do it. You know, so often we hear or we get told by people, you know, the Father says so and so, and you have this gift. But the truth of the matter is that gift that the Father has given us is so that we can be a gift back to his people, so that those things that he's given us, we can bless the body by the things that we do. So he's saying to Timothy, you know what, don't neglect the preaching that you do. Always publicly speak and proclaim. But he's saying specifically, you know, this progress, he says, you know, it's kind of like a advancement. He's saying, I want you to advance like a military soldier advances. I want you to advance by using these gifts that our Father has given to you. And you know, it's interesting, Elia, actually, that in this letter that he writes in 1 Timothy, in this letter, he kind of says, I think maybe four or five times over, to remember. He says, remember, remember, remember. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14, I think that's where he also says to him, you know, remember and fight with these things. Pray and remember the prophecies that were spoken over you. And he says to him that it's a weapon. It's a weapon of remembrance. When we remember what Messiah Yeshua has given us, and we fight with those words, the words of prophecy spoken over us, it's a weapon against the enemy. So we have to get to a point where we don't allow our gifts to become an ember, and where the fire starts to burn out. Yahweh has given us his ruach and his fire so that those giftings can be empowered, and so that those giftings can be used. And we also have to remember this. I think for often people say, well, you know what, my relationship with the Father lately hasn't been so good. I haven't been praying so much, or I feel guilty. But you know, the word of Yahweh is true. And it says that the gift of the giver, the one who gives us the gift, it's irrevocable. Yeah. Yahweh doesn't give you a gift and then based on how you act and how you live and what you do, he removes it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he wants you to live in righteousness, and he wants you to live in truth. Because when we live in righteousness and when we live in truth, it's easier for us then to use our giftings, because we have no shame. We have no guilt. We have no worries. We move with the spirit of Yahweh. So obviously, that's why he says to Timothy, you know, remain pure, remain level-headed, keep your focus on Yeshua, because then it will be easier to use your gift. But Yeshua doesn't remove our gift when we battle, or when we're going through hard times, or when we sin, or when we struggle. It's irrevocable. But it's for us to go and dust those gifts off and keep the flame of Messiah Yeshua burning in our lives. We have to remember that. And now, more than ever, as we head towards Shavuot, we need to remember the Spirit of Yahweh is for us to live a pure life. And then as we live that pure life, our giftings are always being used, because it's not just sitting there as an ember. So fanning into flame is the most important thing that he says to Timothy.
And that scripture that you're referring to is actually in 2 Timothy. The scripture that we're talking about, 1 Timothy 1, 1 Timothy 4, verse 14 through to 19, is him saying to Timothy, you know, use those gifts. Remember those gifts. And then, Yosef, you're saying something really important, because 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 to 7 is where he says, this is why I remind you to fan into flame the spiritual gift Yahweh has given you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Mm-hmm. We love that scripture. Mm-hmm. I personally do love that, you know, God has not given us spirit of fear. We hear that scripture often, but it was actually connected to the fact that Timothy felt fearful, and Paul was reminding him over and over again that you need to fan into flame the spiritual gift that God has given to you. Now think about this. Paul wrote Timothy two letters, you know, at different points of time in different years. And in both of those letters, he says to Timothy, you know, remember that gift, remember the gift. You know, fanning to flame the gift. He's reminding Timothy over and over again. And this is how important it is that he reminds him twice in two different letters, you know, that this is what we need to do, wage war with those spiritual gifts. And I want to say this before we go to the song, that sometimes people receive a word or they get an understanding of their gift. Suddenly Yahweh speaks to you and he says to you, you know, whatever you, I don't know, I can't even think of anything, but just say, you know, Yahweh speaks to you and ignites a gift in your heart or in your life. And, or he gives you a prophetic word about what you need to do, something spiritual that you need to do, and a gift that's going to be released, you know, and you do it once and kind of doesn't amount to anything, or nothing really happens, or you're not doing it in a congregation, or, you know, the, you decided to start to begin to use your gift of encouragement, you know, and you try and encourage someone and it doesn't land where you want it to land. And that is just because natural human perception believes that something should happen or that I'm going to be great at something. You know, people that get receive a word about you're going to be, you know, you need to pick up a paintbrush and you need to paint, you need to be artistic. And the first time they do it, the art doesn't look so good, you know, and then they wonder, well, actually, I should be, you know, Da Vinci right from the beginning because it's my gift. Well, it doesn't really work like that. You know, we have to use the gift in order for the gift to become, you know, really refined and beautiful and able to bless the body. And you can be able to bless the body even with the artwork that doesn't look so good. Or I remember the very first time that I preached a sermon and I struggled to think about it because it was so, so hideous in my mind. You know, I put the sermon together, but I didn't know how to speak to people. I didn't know. I was fearful of public speaking. I had an intense fear of public speaking my whole life. You know, I think I made such a mess, but people were blessed regardless. And, you know, I can't think back on that memory with happiness because I was like, oh my goodness, you know, I really didn't speak to people in the way that I would have wanted to with the love and that compassion. And, you know, but we grow, we have to grow. And that is how it is. So even if you've done something once and maybe it didn't amount to anything or didn't land properly or you feel kind of embarrassed to think about it, doesn't matter. We've all got to start. Yahweh's grace is also sufficient for us. We need to fan that into flame. And Paul is saying it over and over again. We need to remember the gift, develop it. It's your responsibility. So when we go to the song, it's now this perfect time for us to reflect and consider, how do we use our gifts? Are we using our gifts? Abba Father, is there a gift actually dormant in my life that you actually do want to use? Is there something you do want me to do? And what is that, you know? So take some time. We're going to listen to some Chris Tomlin, but we don't want you to go anywhere because we're going to continue in Timothy and we're going to talk about, you know, more of these commands of how to live our life and what we should be doing. So enjoy the song.
And lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing. Holy is the Lord God. Earth
That is such a cool song. It's really a throwback song, so I hope that you knew it. But that was Chris Tomlin. And we are deep into the book of Timothy. We have been talking today really about how do we live out our calling. You know, what are we here for? We are here for something. We need to fan into flame that gift. Also remember it and develop it. You know, I want to go back. You know, we were talking about 1 Timothy 4. And we were really meditating quite a lot on verse 14. But verse 16 says something that is super, super important. And it says, keep a close watch on how you live. And another translation says, watch your life. Full stop. Now, I want to say that that sounds just like something we can just kind of step over and just go, yeah, yeah, okay, cool. We've got that. We can just step over it. But how important is this? This is like a single command. Watch your life. What does this mean? We know that things can easily creep into our lives. You know, the influence of family members, the influence of unsaved people in our world, you know, the influence of colleagues or work relationships or, you know, our close relationships or the influence of anything in our lives. And Paul is really saying to Timothy, you have to watch your life. You have to guard your life. It so relates to that proverb that says, guard your heart, because out of it are the sources of all life. In other words, when we watch our lives, we take a watch on everything that we do. We are saying to the world and ourselves that we are not going to be, you know, led into sin. And when we are, you know, and things get tough or maybe we stumble, we watch our lives closely so that we can get back up, we can repent, we can walk with the Father, we can keep going. But he also says not only watch your life, he also says watch your doctrine. You know, verse 16 says watch your doctrine. And I want to pause here because a lot of people say, oh, you know, I'm not into doctrine. I'm not into, you know, doctrine stuff. Well, everything that we believe is doctrine based. We have to have doctrine, but it's not about having false doctrine. It's about having sound doctrine. So for example, if you believe Yeshua is the Messiah, that's a doctrine, you know, and Paul is saying here, watch your doctrine. In other words, watch what you believe, you know, review your beliefs, guard it. Don't get sidetracked. You know, what we believe and how we live impacts everybody because Paul says it. He says, watch your life. And he says, you know, watch what you believe. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who will hear you. So today, exactly what you believe and your doctrine not only is going to affect your life and what you're doing with it, but it actually is going to affect the salvation of the people around you. So that is why we always say when there's false teachings and false doctrines and we see these false, you know, congregations that's just teaching, you know, your best life now or get rich quick schemes or whatever it may be. This is making people lose their salvation because they are following false doctrine. We need to be sober minded and awake people who are watching our lives, guarding our lives, you know, really, really carefully, but then also watching what we believe and knowing the truth and living the truth and not allowing the influence of people in our space to influence what we believe, but to really know it, to guard it, to watch it, and to say, you know what I believe directly affects the salvation of the people around me. How big and how high is that benchmark of faith? That what we actually believe, our doctrine, affects the salvation of others. And of course it does. You know, and we need to be serious about what we believe. But you know, Yosef, you said something earlier on that this letter really reads like this commanding officer, you know, writing. And I want to say it is absolutely true. And it's something that I really want to say to everyone listening today in 1 Timothy 6, and particularly when we start to begin to look at verse 12, it actually says, fight the good fight of faith. And actually, in another translation, it says, fight the good fight for the true faith. Wow. And then he says, hold tightly to the eternal life to which Yeshua has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. And I charge you before God who gives life to all and before Messiah Yeshua that you obey this command without wavering. You know, I want to say that Timothy is full, the you know, books of Timothy or the letters written to Timothy are full of what it means to be a faithful and a faith-filled person. because he uses words, Paul, when he writes, he uses words like flee, pursue, fight, take hold of, fan into flame, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of this most precious faith, you know, pursue the things of Yeshua with everything inside of you. This is like such an active faith. This is not a passive faith. This is not about passivity. It's not about sitting down and saying, okay, well, if I need to use my gift, then Yahweh will bring the people to me. And I'm just going to sit here and all the people are just going to come to me. And then when they come to me, I'm just going to use my gift. I don't really know what it is because I haven't really taken hold of it. But I'm just going to use everything that I have and he's just going to bring everything to me. That would be great if everything just came to us, you know. Or if, you know, this restoration hour imagine went out and you and I never had to show up today, Yosef. I mean, it doesn't work like that. We got to take hold of, we got to grasp, we got to pursue it. We got to fight the good fight of faith. We got to fan into flame. We got to press in. You know, when you come to a restoration hour, you show up, you have to show up. I'm showing up, you're showing up. But the show up doesn't happen here. It happens and it speaks to a deeper reality of you showed up where other people couldn't see. How did you show up where other people couldn't see? Because you showed up in prayer, in depth of prayer. Every single day this week saying, Yeshua, what is it, your message to your people for this week? And then when he begins to speak to you, you show up for the hours that he wants to pour into you so that you can give this message. It's not just about everything's just going to come to me. It's that I have to take hold of it. I have to pursue him. You know, in Jeremiah 33, it says that, you know, we must ask of him and he's going to tell us secret things, hidden things that have not been heard before. We need to take hold of Yeshua and say, I want to hear, I want to know, I'm watching my life, I'm guarding my doctrine, help me with this, help me fan into flame my gifts, help me use my gifts, what is my calling, let me be a purpose-filled human being. And there's a quote that I want to read, and I really loved it when I read it, and it said that our discipline and our obedience largely define whether or not we will be contributors or merely spectators. And I want to read that again. Our discipline and our obedience largely define whether or not we will be contributors or spectators. You know, whether we're going to walk in obedience or whether we're going to be disciplined, and that requires consistency. That's going to determine whether we're just going to be sitting back in kind of the stadium as a spectator on the chairs, or else we're going to be playing on the field, you know, whatever we're playing, as a real person that is actually contributing to the kingdom work, letting kingdom come through us onto this earth. Are we going to be, you know, contributing to that, or are we going to merely be a spectator?
You know, Leah, you're talking about whether we're going to be, you know, a contributor or a spectator. And Paul actually speaks to Timothy in his second letter, and he says specifically to him, he says, you know, he gives an analogy about a soldier, and then he gives another one about an athlete. And he's talking to Timothy and he says to him, you know, and I think it reflects on us today too, because so often as people, we want to be using our gifts. We want to be doing what the Father's called us to do, but we get so involved in the things of the world sometimes, or we get so involved in our own agenda that we forget actually what the Father's called us to do. And Paul is saying to Timothy, don't be involved in those things. Don't be, like you said, don't be someone that's sitting in the crowd. Be the person that's actually participating in the race. So he says to him, he says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says to him, suffer hardships with me as a good soldier. And again, he uses, you know, these phrases, soldier, fight the good fight, fan into flame, like you said. And then he says this, he says, as an active soldier in service. Then he says this, because no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. So he's saying, you know what, don't get so focused on the things of this world, rather get focused on the things that your enlisting officer, Messiah Yeshua, has given to you so that you can please him. And then he goes on and he says this, also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. And you know, we have been given these rules of how to live, how to be in this, as I said before, the rules of engagement. The rules of engagement of this fight that we're fighting is obedience. It's faithfulness. It's walking with this eyes that are fixed on Messiah Yeshua. And you know, in 1 Timothy, when he calls him and he says to him, you know, this command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight. Then he says to him, keeping the faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected. So he's saying to Timothy, he's saying over and over, you know what? The thing that's going to keep you going is your faith, is your purity, is your focus, and your eyes that stay on Messiah Yeshua. And he says, you have been given a set of rules. We have been given these rules, Yahweh's Torah and instructions, the guidelines on how to live and how to engage in this battle, so that when the enemy comes, we can say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to get busy with that thing. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to stay focused, and thereby using the gifts and the talents that Messiah Yeshua has given us, and not getting engaged in, you know, in civilian affairs, if you want to put it that way, that sidelines us. The enemy loves to sideline us, and we need to understand something. We are in a battle. We are in a war, and the best way for the enemy to try and defeat us is how? To get inside the camp, to be inside. He's going to use, that's why he says continually, Paul says to Timothy, you know what, don't get caught up in this. These talks, you know, don't get caught up in these things about genealogies and all this stuff. Don't get caught up in useless conversations that amount to nothing. He says to Timothy, rather stay focused on the mission that is at hand. And you know, so often we as believers, we get so caught up in all this stuff that the enemy is actually causing us just to run around in circles, and we're so focused on what's happening in our little Torah group or in our little groups or our little places where we are, and we're so focused on all the issues that's going on, and we're forgetting about what's actually happening outside. People are dying, souls are going to hell, and Yeshua is saying, hey, you know what, I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. I've given you all this stuff. I want you to use it. So don't get caught up in taking your eyes off the goal of the prize and just sitting in the crowd and being a spectator. Rather be the one running the race, no matter where you're at. Whether you feel sometimes like, hey, you know what, I'm the last guy in this relay, at least you're in the relay. You know, it doesn't matter. At least you're running the race. Don't be a person on the sideline looking, seeing everybody else running away and doing what they need to be doing, and you just sitting there thinking, well, I got nothing to offer. Get into the fight. Get in and run the race and do what Yeshua has called you to do.
I love this, Yosef. It's so cool. You know, it made me think when you were talking of this memory that popped up, and I have to share the story because I think it's something that we've always remembered. When we were in Ghana back in 2014, you know, we were in a village and the roads weren't very good. Obviously, you know, there were massive potholes as though so big that, you know, the whole car could fall into it because nothing is upkept there. It's just, you know, that's what it is. So we're busy driving in the car of this pastor, and he has this, you know, really big car. And as we're driving, he goes into like a pothole, and we're driving over this very, very sketchy road. And as we're driving, his windshield wiper just flies right off, and he's just laughing. It literally sounded like this. He's just like literally laughing. And the next minute we drive one, you know, little meter, and his side mirror on his door flies off, you know. Then everything is flying off of this, from this car. We're on our way to this radio station where we're going to preach the gospel on the radio. And everything is flying off this car. And we're like, Pastor John, like, your car's literally falling apart. He's laughing, and he's like, I am focused on my assignment. I don't care. I'm focused on my assignment. Like, we couldn't see the radio station building where we were, but in his eyes, the radio station building was literally in front of him. He was so focused on what he needed to do, so focused on his assignment. He was laughing the whole way. And when I mean things were flying off this car, I literally mean things were flying off, and it was a really big, sturdy car. But this is how sketchy the roads are. And I've always remembered that, because I've always thought, you know, to be so focused on your assignment and to be so focused on what is ahead and what you're actually going to do and what you're doing in that moment is really a different frame of mind, you know, to not get upset about the fact that your car is literally falling apart as you're driving. And it was really that moment. And I want to end off with saying that You know, Timothy, when Paul was writing to him, and particularly 2 Timothy, I think we forget this is Paul's final words that, you know, we ever hear of him again, the Apostle Paul that has given us so much of the Bible. This would be his final letter. He's sitting in a very dark dungeon. You know, he's not under house arrest as he was before. This time, you know, he says, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. I'm going home now. Mm. It was his letter before his death, 2 Timothy, that he spent time writing to the person he loved and cared about. His faithful companion, one that was like a son to him, someone that was his mentee, someone he wanted to be okay, someone he had built up, someone that he had invested in, someone that he wanted to run that race and to be focused on their assignment. Paul is sitting in a cold, dirty, lonely dungeon because it's about loneliness. If you read 2 Timothy, I encourage you to do so. He's lonely. He says, come to me quickly, you know, come and see me quickly before my death. And, you know, it's a very, very intense time, but Paul is taking time to write to Timothy. And he writes these incredible words to say, you know what, just run the race, fight the fight, you know, do the best that you can do. I'm not going to be with you. And Timothy was going to go into that time of transition where he would no longer have the voice that would help him, the voice of leadership and love and guidance and fatherness that he would need. You know, it was that I'm going to be like a spiritual child, you know, that's now no longer has their father. And I would need to know now what it means and what my life looks like and how I am to lead and how I am to live when this person is no longer here anymore. And it's such a deep, profound reality, this transition. And, you know, Paul's death approached and it was what it was. But we really know and understand that Paul wanted him to fulfill his calling. And tonight, that's what we want to say to you as well. We all are called and we all have a calling. And I know for Yusuf and myself, one of the greatest places where we are always attacked is our giftings. If the enemy can get us to sit back and not use the gifts that we are given and not do the things that we are called to do. And sometimes he does win in that area, but we have to choose to fight back because we can't be spectators. And I know that it will be the same, and it probably is the same for you, and you've experienced that. Don't expect that it's going to come easy just because you fan into flame the gift. The enemy will use you, every sort of attack against that gift in you, because that gift is going to save souls. That gift is going to advance the kingdom. That gift is going to set people free. That gift is going to bring you closer to Yeshua. That gift ushers heaven in. That gift changes the atmosphere. That gift enables you to one day, when you stand before Yeshua, you will then hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You actually used what I gave you. It gets so many things right when you use your gift. So of course expect that there will come opposition, but know that you can, what did Paul say, fight the good fight of faith. We don't back down. So we want to go to our final song of the evening, and we want to pray for you when we get back. If you have a prayer request, please put it down. We'd love to pray for you. Otherwise we'll just pray as we are led. Enjoy the song.
I just want more of you, God, more of you, God. I just want more of you, God, more of you. Pour out all I have, lay down all I making room for you. Lord, I'm ready to open up my heart to receive not in part, but the fullness of who you are. Lord, I'm ready. I just want more. I just want more of you, God, more of you. to receive not in the fullness of who you are, Lord. From your rope steals the weakness from my bones. Oh, I need more of you.
Father, tonight we want to say thank you for who you are and what you have done for us, Father. I want to pray in the name of Yeshua, Yahweh, that you will give us the strength, Father, to make it through each and every single day. I just want to make sure, sorry guys, if there. Father, we just want to pray in the name of Yeshua tonight. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Father, I want to pray that this word, Father, that you have spoken to us, Father, that it will really resonate in our hearts, Father, that we will fan into flame the gift, Father, that you have given us. And more importantly, Father, that we will stay the course, Father, that is set in front of us. I know, Yahweh, that each and every person that is listening tonight, Father, live with us, Father, that you have blessed them with gifts. You have blessed them, Father, with understanding, and you have given them, Father, this calling in their lives, Father, to serve you, to worship you, and to do, Father, what you have called them to do. I pray, Father, that the fire of your Spirit inside of them, Father, will burn brightly, and Father, that the gifts that are inside of them, those things, Father, that they even have not unlocked yet, Father, we pray that they will unlock them, and Father, that they will discover a depth and a newness, Father, with you in this life, and we thank you for that. Father, this evening we want to pray for Darby and Debbie, Father, and we know, Father, the effects of COVID, Father, and what it does to the human body. And Father, we really want to pray tonight, Father, over Darby and Debbie, Father, and we want to ask in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you will bring healing to them. We pray, Father, that every part of their body, Father, every ache, every pain, every headache, Father, I pray in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you will remove it and give them shalom. I also pray, Father, that the effects of COVID, Father, in the mind and in the brain and the psychological effects of it, Father, that this will not be, Father, amplified over them in the name of Yeshua, but Father, that you will give them peace and that you will give them shalom. I also pray, Father, for their heart and their physical bodies to be strengthened, Father, in the name of Yeshua. And Father, that every thought that enters their mind, Father, will be given by you. And Father, that they will be strengthened and overcome this, Father, in the name of Yeshua. And we thank you for that. Father, we thank you that you are faithful. And Father, that when we cry out to you, Father, your word says that when we ask, Father, for bread, that you will not give us a stone. So I pray this evening, Father, that every request, every unspoken request even tonight, Father, that you will hear it, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that you will see to the needs of your people, Father, and that you will see their hearts. And Father, that whatever is in their hearts, Father, whatever they are crying out to you for, Father, I pray that you will hear them. And Father, that you will be a good, good Father in the name of Yeshua. And we thank you.
Father, we just thank you so much that you are good, Father, that you are faithful, that you are for us, Father, that you are with us, Father. We thank you that your presence is known among us, Father, and we just give you all the glory and praise. And Father, we also want to pray for Sudi today, Father, that you'll just be with her and her family. I pray, Father, that you will help her make the right decision, Father, and that you will lead and guide the decisions that she makes, that her and her husband make, Father, that they are making for their family. And Father, that you will lead them, guide them, bless them, and be with them. And Father, that you will empower them, Father, to have wisdom in every single thing that they do. Father, please bless them as a family. Be with them. Make your incredible face to shine upon them and give them your shalom. And Father, I just really want to pray again, Father, as well, for whatever is sitting in our hearts this evening, for their hearts and their silent requests. And Father, the things that you know about that's in all of our hearts this evening, as we lift it up to you. We pray, Father, that you will bless, that you will come, Father, that you will hear, and Father, that you will begin to work, and that you will minister, and that you'll move in truth and power in our lives. And Father, we also want to just lift Jody up to you today. I want to pray that you'll be with Jody, Father, and that you'll lead her and guide her, Father, that you'll bless her, that you'll fill her with wisdom and understanding, Father, with knowledge and with truth, and Father, that she'll be able to just live out the wisdom, truth, and knowledge that you want to give her, Father. I pray that she will have such deep clarity, Father, in her mind and in her thoughts of all the things, Father, that she wants to do and the things that she wants to put her hands to and how she wants to live and what she wants to do, Father, that you'll give her wisdom to know how to do that, even when it seems maybe impossible, even when there's people around her, Father, maybe that won't understand. I do pray that you'll bless her, Father, and that you will lift Jody up in the mighty name of Yeshua, and that you will lead her and guide her in this path of life, Father, to be a strong woman that stands firm in your wisdom, with your understanding and your knowledge. And Father, we also just lift Marlies up to you this evening. And Father, I really want to pray over her today, Father. I know that you have given her many prophetic words and many, many gifts. And I pray that the prophetic words that you want her to remember and develop, Father, and recall and begin to meditate on and see come to fulfillment, Father, that you will bring those things to her remembrance, Father. I pray that every single moment that she received a word from you that was true and in your spirit, Father, not any false words, not anyone who said anything wrong, but Father, the true words that you spoke over her life many, many times, many, many different occasions, Father, I just really pray that you will bring those words to life for her and help her remember them again. And Marlies, I just want to say to you, I just also saw a picture of the very first time that you came to the camp, and it was a Tavalingwe, and I remember you standing, and I remember that was a moment where you kind of weren't sure, are these people legit? Is the word that's going to be given to me right? But there was a word that was spoken to you that very first time that you came up, and you were one of the last people they got prayed for. I actually can see it so clearly, which is so interesting. You were standing on the, if you were looking at the hall with your back towards the door, you were standing on the left-hand side. You were one of the last people that got prayed for, I think second or third last, and you were standing there. And Yahweh wanted to say there was a word and a message that was spoken over you on that moment and in that time. And there was that wrestle inside of you whether to, you know, could you believe this? Was it true? But there was something deep that was spoken to you there that Yahweh wants you to remember and recall and regain that memory so that you can really meditate on it. There's something deep there that you need to just really reflect on, and Yahweh wants to really do. So Father, we just pray that she'll remember that word, and Father, that you'll bring it to her memory. And I just really pray that you'll bless her, that you'll keep her, make your face to shine upon her as she continues to walk this journey that you have set before her. Father, I know that you're paving a new way before her, and I see that and believe that this evening, Father, that there are new bricks being laid in her path and in her journey, Father. It's a bricked road, Father Yahweh, and it's a beautiful one. And we thank you that you are doing this in her life, that you are laying brick by brick by brick for my release, and she's going to walk in this path, and it's going up, Father. It's going up to a great place, and we thank you for that. Again, Father, just seal her up and lead her and guide her and give her strength tonight, Father, because she is called by your name and she is your child, and you know her and you love her. And we thank you for this, Father. We also just pray for every family that's represented here, that you will be with them, that you'll bless them, that you'll keep them, Father, and that your incredible goodness and grace will be with them over this week as we head towards Shavuot. We thank you for this, Father, and we give you all the praise in Yeshua Mashiach's mighty, mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I just needed to say, when Yosef started praying, the cat jumped onto all the controls that are in front of us. So we had no idea if you could even hear us, but we hope that, you know, that you could. And we just really thank you so much for joining us. It's been so great to have this restoration hour with you. And I just really, really know that Abba Father is with you, and, you know, that he loves you. And remember what I said, that next week we are going to be broadcasting on Saturday evening at 8 p.m. South African time, not Sunday, because it's the beginning of Shavuot. It is a high Shabbat. We do want to fellowship with you. We do want to be together on that high and special day. And so bless you. May you just receive peace and joy this week. And we'll see you for Shavuot next week.
Shalom, everybody.
Take care.
the one who was the one.